gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be thankful in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we stand to sing hymn 488, Jesus.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
It is taken from the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse, and can be found on page 109. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Shall we just do a sound check to begin with? Is that okay? Good. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Crabtree and Evelyn. Rosewater. Nice. Give you a bit too. When I ask you to think about what smells you like, what do you think of? The aroma of food when you're hungry? The smell of sweet peas or lilies? or carnations or geraniums. Or perhaps you think of a certain perfume that reminds you of someone special. The perfume your mother used to wear, or your wife, or girlfriend, or sister, or maybe it's Old Spice. Perfume can bring back memories. It brings back a particular memory for me. It reminds me of my mother. I was a teenager when my mother won a competition. She came back to Glasgow from London after viewing the latest Dior collection, holding a bottle of Diorissimo perfume, which I reckon would now be worth at least £3,000. It was a large, ornate bottle with a gold stopper. Not long afterwards, my mother accidentally knocked it over. The smell of the perfume spread throughout our home, and it lingered for a long time. I remember the smell and the occasion much more than if that bottle had never been knocked over. Was it a shame and a waste? That's what Judas thought, and perhaps he was not the only one to be shocked by something that Mary did that night as they reclined at dinner, enjoying their meal. A meal to celebrate the rising of Lazarus from the dead. There he was, large as life, clear evidence as to the miracle. After all, he had been well and truly dead. He'd been in that tomb for 4 whole days before Jesus arrived. And after 4 whole days, bodies begin to smell, in that climate particularly, even when they have been embalmed. They pleaded with Jesus not to open the tomb. It would be awful. But Jesus went ahead, and it was okay, after all. Mary may well have been privy to the embalming of her brother's body for his funeral. Death and its stench were so recently on her mind, but also Jesus' sacrificial raising of Lazarus at such a great cost to himself, because this action drew the attention of the authorities. And there was Lazarus himself, as large as life and more provocative. Everyone was coming to see, and the news spread like wildfire. The authorities were aware, and they were afraid that they would lose all control. They must do something and put an end to this carry-on. They just couldn't stand by and watch this. Both men must die. Jesus had touched Mary's heart not only in this dramatic miracle, but previously, if you remember, she'd sat at his feet and listened to him and had earned herself a rebuke from her sister Martha. But Mary was so captivated by Jesus, so drawn by him, that she simply didn't care. As she cast her eyes upon Jesus and looked full in his wonderful face, the things of earth grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Nothing else mattered. All paled into insignificance beside Jesus. And so came that evening meal. Mary had prepared. She had bought a costly alabaster jar of pure nard, a rich perfume for anointing bodies, for hiding the stench of decay and death. It's hard to know just how fully aware Mary was of the implications of what she was doing. But I assume she must have known from listening to Jesus that he was about to die, and she seemed to have grasped his royal mission, that he was indeed the King of the Jews, the Messiah for whom they'd been waiting. She awaited her moment. Then she approached Jesus and bent down. Now they were all watching. She took the jar and broke it open, and out poured the most wonderful fragrance as the ointment oozed over Jesus' feet and the aroma filled the air and covered all. It was much stronger than the aromas of bodies and feet and the lovely meal. It filled their nostrils, and the sight of Mary loosening her hair and wiping his feet completed the picture. Complete abandon of all conventions, all inhibitions cast to one side. She was consumed with what she was doing. As Jesus explained in her defense, she'd anointed his body for burial. She had anointed him as king. She had anointed him for his passion, the final outpouring of himself, body and soul, in the final days. He would pour out his precious blood as sacrificially as Mary poured out that precious perfume. To those who didn't understand, to those who don't understand, worship can look very wasteful and foolish. But to God, the smell is sweet. Our prayers rise to him like incense, and there's a fragrance to those who bear Christ and share him with the world, those who cover the smell of death and decay around us. This action of Mary's was supremely generous and extravagant. The perfume was worth the equivalent of a whole year's wages, Judas cried out, shocked and angry. That did it for him. Interested as he was in money and looking after and stealing from the communal purse, the money could have been given to the poor, true, Judas, but I don't think you would have done it. To calm the outcry and protect vulnerable Mary, Jesus points out that there is a time for extravagance. Some people are worth it. Jesus was worth it. This was a key moment in the history of the world. They were standing at the crossroads. Judas sat there making some quick calculations. He would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and keep the money for himself. Two such very different hearts, Mary and Judas. I remember one very moving occasion when we were at an evening communion service in the chapel at Trinity. A woman began to sob. Huge sobs. She sobbed and sobbed. She poured out all her grief. She poured out her heart. We stopped. We couldn't go on. We waited. All of us silent. We waited for a long, long time until the sobbing finally subsided. There was something beautiful about this very real outpouring of a heart that was touched by Jesus, of a heart that broke open. The rest of us are more measured in our response. We're British and we're Anglican, and everything in moderation is our motto. Sometimes I guess we are a little calculating. There are some among our Anglican communion who might even find it hard to greet one another in the peace. So reserved are they. I don't know whether you know the song by Stilgo and Skellen about a certain Mrs. Beamish who told her neighbor to keep his hands off her. How often are we generous? Mary's action, forever told in memory of her, the most fragrant thing ever done for Jesus, challenges our meanness, our focus on the wrong things, on the little formalities, our properness. It should make us reflect on the state of our hearts. Have we ever really met with Jesus? And have we realized how much we owe him? Have our hearts ever been moved with love to the extent that we forget all else around us? Maybe we need a fresh encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we've lost our first love, and maybe we need to get it back again. Mary had prepared Jesus to ride into Jerusalem as king, the aroma of his anointing still upon him and in his nostrils. He was ready. He was strengthened. He was loved and understood. He could do what he had to do, face what he had to face, in the knowledge that at least one person knew what he was about. Let us pray. Lord, without your touch on our lives, we remain cold and unfeeling. But you change everything, and we're utterly dependent on that. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your love to touch our lives and hearts. And we ask that we might respond to you generously, even extravagantly, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, with our whole hearts. Amen.